Glad you guys are here today. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. It's going to be all in, people endure. Now, when I say all in, it means that you are really connected to the Lord Jesus and you're living for Him. A lot of Christians are out on the periphery. And if you want to endure in this life now, because it's getting harder to be a Christian in America. If you want to endure, you're going to have to be all in. Would you please stand for reading of the Word of God? We honor God by standing when we read His Word. Verses 8 through 13, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the Word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. This is the Word of God. Please be seated. Now, by now, everyone should know what the theme of 2 Timothy is. Three things. Hold fast. What do you mean by holding fast? It means don't be movable. Hold fast. Preach the Word. Preach the Word, Timothy. Tell people the truth, Timothy. Don't throw them pablum. Don't throw them good sayings and read out of nice books and life is wonderful and great and terrific. Well, it is if you're in Lord Jesus, but it's still hard while you're here. Preach the truth of the Word. And finally, be strong, Timothy. Nero's persecuting people all over the place. You stand up. You be strong. You don't wither. Now, last week, Paul was encouraging Timothy to do just that, to be strong in Christ. That was verse 1. To pass on what Paul had taught him, but to pass the word on to faithful men. Be discerning, Timothy, who you are sharing this information with. Be discerning. Men who had proven spiritual character. Now, I want to ask you a question. When I say proven spiritual character, what is character? Just think about it. What is character? Let me help you. Character is who you are when no one's looking. It's who you are when no one is looking. It's the real non-mask wearing you. The one that God sees, the real you. And remember this, nothing is hidden from God's sight. All things are uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of whom we must give an account. So when we think we're sneaking and it's dark and nobody sees us, guess what? Spotlight from heaven right there. Right on you. Okay, faithful men, spread the gospel, stand for the truth, endure hardship, Timothy. Be selfless, be courageous. And then he gave three examples of those who would stand strong, those who would endure. And those were the soldiers, the athlete, and the farmers that he used as examples in verses 3 through 6 last week. Those who endure hardship go all out. They are poured out. You ever heard that word being poured out for Christ? You know, that's talking about the last offering. It's a drink offering, pouring out your life. And it means that you're going to sacrifice for God and you're going to serve God. It is found in a couple different areas. Philippians 2:17 says this, poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice, the service of our faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, for I am already being poured out. He's talking about his death here. He knows he's going to die. He's talking about his death. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. He's talking about his sacrifice and his service to the death. And he's telling Timothy, this is what we have to do. This is what faithful men are called to do. And I'll tell you, this is uncommon. This is uncommon in the Western church. It's not uncommon through the rest of the world, by the way. You know that. Because when you're in a Muslim country and you profess faith in Jesus Christ, you know it's to the death. It's not that, oh, they're going to make fun of me. Oh, I might have a little, they're going to be rude. It goes way beyond that. But we're in rude right here. We're living in rude. We're making fun of us. We're intolerant and all that stuff. They're past that. They're in overt persecution and death. Faithful men. Faithful men. This is Paul's view of genuine committed Christianity. This is not pie in the sky. No, this is, it's not all about me Christianity. It's not all about me American Christianity. It's about sacrifice and service. Sacrifice and service. not baby Christianity. Listen to this. He also says you have to be a soldier, an athlete, a farmer to endure. But if you remember in verse 7 last week, he said this. If you really want to endure, you have to meditate on this word. You have to chew on it. And remember, John Corson gave the illustration of chewing on it like a cow. Chew on it. Yes, chew on it. Go beyond your cocoon of comfort, folks. Go beyond your cocoon of comfort. Meditate on God's word. Be strengthened by God's word. Go beyond your cocoon of comfort that we have in America. Okay? Comfort. Go beyond the I can'ts. Go beyond the I won'ts. Go beyond the I won't stretch myself. Okay? Step out and be poured out for Christ. A life of sacrifice and a life of service. That's what he's talking about. Be an athlete. Be a soldier. Be a farmer. Endure hardship. Be poured out. That's what he's focusing on. And I will tell you, if you do that, if you are all in, for those who are all in, I think you know this, you will never be disappointed that you were all in. Ever. I don't know anybody, even to the death, even when they're lining you up on the beach in Egypt, ISIS, to cut off your head, you will really not be disappointed at that point that you were all in. You will not be disappointed. Because remember this, God is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Remember this, living in the center of God's will is what brings you abundant joy. Living on the edge is most discomforting. Half in and half out Christianity. Remember, when you serve and sacrifice, when you're poured out, you're really living. You know your life has purpose. You know you have value. You know there's meaning to this existence, even though it's getting harder here. It's not getting easier here. It's getting harder here. But you know that you have value, purpose, and meaning. Colossians 1:10 says this, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. What in the world's Paul talking about there? Walk worthy of the Lord. Represent him. This is what the world sees of Christianity. That's right. He goes on to say this, that you walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. That's service and sacrifice. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Remember, God never saves you to stay the same. All right, thank you. That was our theme at our retreat anyway. This week, that's our review. You've had your review. This week, all in people endure. Hold nothing back, people will endure. Don't quit, people will endure. Don't be sidelined, people will endure. All in people will endure. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to study your word. And Holy Spirit, please teach us. Open our spiritual eyes to truth. What we do not know, teach us. And what you do teach us, help us to act on. Not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, verse 8. I can endure because Jesus really is alive. You know that? He is alive. We have a living Savior. Verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, talking about his lineage as a king, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Jesus is alive, raised from the dead. Now, why do you believe, listen to this, why do you believe that Christianity is the only way to God? What is your absolute proof? He lived. Okay, thank you. He rose from the dead. That's the answer to the question. So, yeah, he did. The most compelling argument is this. It's the resurrection. Remember, Scripture says, without the resurrection, our faith is in vain. If Jesus did not raise from the dead, there's no Christianity. You better find something else. He's a living Savior. All world religions, hear this, all world religions, their leaders are where? Dead. Dead. D-E-D. Dead. That's right. You know what? Jesus died on the cross. He was put in a tomb that was sealed. He was put in a tomb that was guarded by professional Roman soldiers who were told specifically that in 3 days someone was going to come and try to steal that body and you guys better be on the alert. Specifically. Rome was ready and Rome was guarding. And guess what? 3 days later, the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. Empty. Jesus is alive. And I'll tell you what, the change in the disciples' lives was amazing. They went from running to courageous, fearful to engaged. And I'll tell you, that's what Jesus does to you. Changed it. Changed the disciples' lives. Cowards to heroes. Jesus is alive. There were Jesus sightings all over the place. They were numerous. In 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 3, it talks about Jesus being resurrected and it being witnessed by over 500 people, by the women, by James, by Peter, by the disciples, by a whole bunch of people. Jesus, there's eyewitness testimony to this, that he is alive. Now, folks, today the church is persecuted. It's maligned. There have been many attempts to stamp out Christianity. Paul was one of those. We're going to stamp out this movement. Stamp it out. But guess what? Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church exists, folks, because Jesus is alive, and the resurrection is true. The change in your life bears testimony to this. Those who are saved are different. They're different. They live different. From doubt to belief. And I'll tell you, the believing in Jesus is a miracle of God. God changes your heart, folks. God is the one that does the miracle within you. He is with you always. He's your strength. He's the strength to allow you to do more than whatever you think you could do because he's alive. Listen to what William Barclay has to say on this. Paul is not so much saying to Timothy, remember the actual resurrection of Jesus. Rather, he is saying, remember Jesus forever risen and forever present. Conceptualize, ever present with you. That's how you endure, ever present with you. Remember your risen and your ever present Lord. He is the great Christian inspiration. We do not depend on the inspiration of a memory. That becomes fading as you get older. However great, we enjoy the power of a presence. When the Christian is summoned to a great task, a task that cannot but feel is beyond him, he must go to it in the certainty that he does not go into it alone, but that in this task there is with him forever and forever the presence and the power of his risen Lord. Wherever you go, the presence and the power of the risen Lord is with you. When fears threaten you, anybody have a problem with that? You're living here today, you're having a little trouble with that. When fears threaten you, when doubts assail, when inadequacy depresses, he says, remember the presence of the risen Lord. I tell you, because Jesus really is alive, folks, we can endure anything. Anything. Ephesians 3:20, we can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or imagine according to the power that is at work within us. Jesus is alive. Verse 9, know this, because you believe that Jesus is alive, hear this, the world will view you as evil. You know, you're not on the favorite team anymore. It's changed. It's changed. Verse 9. For which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, because he believes that Jesus rose from the dead and believes in his gospel, even to the point of chains. Oh, but the word of God is not chained. It is never going to be changed. Rome considered Paul to be evil. He was a dangerous man, Paul was. So they chained him. They imprisoned him. To stop his influence, they wanted to silence him. I submit to you, Paul did not have an army. Paul did not have chariots to overcome Rome. Paul did not even have intentions of overthrowing Rome. It wasn't his intention. He had a philosophy of life that involved the Lord Jesus Christ, and they hated him for it, and they killed him for it. He wasn't a threat to Rome, overtly. What was Paul's crime? He was a threat to Rome's gods, small g, and their way of life, showing them to be idols and nothing more. He was a threat to the demonic realm, the real ruling power of Rome. Remember, powers, principalities, that's what we're dealing with in our culture. Rulers of darkness, Ephesians 6:12. Remember, the whole world, folks, is in bondage to Satan. You realize that. We've said this many times. It's the kingdom of darkness that we're living in. He's the temporary ruler. He's the god of this age who's blinding the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of Christ. We've gone over this many times. And remember that the entire world serves a demonic king if they are not in the kingdom of God. And most people don't even know it. They don't know it. They don't conceptualize it. 1 John 5:19 says this, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. The whole world. The only way to get out of the evil one's control is to be transferred into the kingdom of light through the Lord Jesus Christ. He died so that we may live. It's called being born again. Now think about this. Satan's strategy goes like this. And it's done this for all the time that man has existed. There's nothing new under the sun. Chain Paul, silence his voice, don't allow him to influence the culture, silence him and his message. Does anybody feel like you're being silenced today? Do you know that we have people now kneeling, taking a knee when the national anthem is played? Just today I saw that a whole high school team, their coaching staff, would not stand for the national anthem. Okay? Silence them. Do you see Satan's strategy? Now, if you were to say, this is where I was going with this, if you were to say and hold the sign up during the national anthem, I am a Jesus follower, and that's all you did, just I'm a Jesus follower, or you even did this, just point to heaven, just say, I believe in Jesus, you know, just do that, what would happen to you? They would rip you apart. They'd rip you to shreds. They'd rip you to shreds. Do you see Satan's strategy? Persecute, chain, and silence. That's his strategy. His methodology is being used today as it has been in the past. He threatens. He's a bully. He's a bully, and he wants to silence you. Paul experiences nothing new under the sun. Peter experiences. The early church experiences. Christians throughout the world are experiencing this today. And folks, you may experience this. Be ready. Be ready. Peter has this to say about that. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. It's not strange for Christians to be persecuted. 1 Peter 4:12. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, oh, there's a time when he's coming, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Epi, upon you. The power of God is upon you. You can stand, folks, because the Spirit of God rests upon you. The power of God is there. The power of God is there. Now, listen to this. Satan's methods have failed. Why have they failed? Because the Word of God is not chained. You cannot chain the Word of God. The Word of God will never be silenced. And I'll tell you, if you ever said an amen in the service, that would be time right now. Amen. It's not going to be silenced. The government can burn all the Bibles they want. They can burn all the Christians they want. But you know what happens? Bibles reappear. Christians are reproduced. More and more and more. No demon, no human, and by the way, I think this is right, we're on the precipice of this, no future Antichrist will ever be able to stop this message, stop the Word of God, stop the spread of the gospel. How do I know that? Because in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and 10, it says when the Antichrist comes, he's going to start killing people in droves. But you know what happens? There's a massive revival. A massive revival. And these people are said to be before the throne of God, those who have been killed in the tribulation period for their faith. These are the ones that came out of the tribulation period. He will never stop the spread of the Word of God. The world views you as evil. The world wants to silence your message. You are a threat to the world, and you are a threat to this world's small god, Satan. The world system will do everything it can to stop you, but guess what? The Word of God cannot be chained. Cannot be chained. Verse 10, we endure so others may know. You know that. You are enduring. You are able to put up with persecution. You are be able to go through whatever you're going to have to go through because others need to know the truth. And they're going to get it from you. Get it from you. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things. He's talking about his prison. He's talking about his beatings. He's talking about his shipwrecks. He's talking about all the stuff that he's been through in life, which we can't even comprehend. I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. John 17:23, that's the real Lord's Prayer, where God is praying for himself, his disciples, and the future believers. He says in verse 23, that the world may know that you have sent me. He's talking about the unity of the body of believers at this point. But you, in unity with one another, are telling the world that you belong to the Lord Jesus. That's the only way that they're going to know is if we tell them. Now, God is using today, in some remote places of the world, dreams and visions to get the attention of humanity. I don't believe that's happening in the United States, at least often, because we have God's Word. We have information. That's happening in places that are devoid of that. God is building his church, folks, his called out one. We call them the ecclesia, the called out ones from the world, to be his family, his special people. You are special to God, his special people, the people of God, not the people of the world. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we see how what God thinks of us. Watch this. But you are, Peter's telling these people, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness. That's what he calls us, out of the darkness of this world, into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Folks, we are the people of God. God has called us out of the world to be his. He's building his church. And because I belong to him, I will endure. I can sacrifice. I can live a life that is poured out for the Savior. He died for me. I can do this so that others may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. We have to spread this message. 1 Corinthians 9:22, I've become all things to all men that by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake. That's what Paul said. The gospel will never be changed. It is the life-saving message of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. Verse 11 and 12a, all who endure, all of us who endure, remain faithful to their profession of faith. Remain faithful to their profession of faith. Watch this. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, that's kind of a strange word, isn't it? How did we die with him? You're going to know that in just a second. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Hear this. You must know that when you were saved, you died with Christ. That means your old man died. Now, how do I know that? Well, because the Bible tells me so. Romans chapter 6 tells us this right straight up. Verses 1 through 5 talks about being buried with him in baptism into death, raised from the dead by the glory of God. And then in verse 6 he says this, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, katagero, to cease completely, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. My old man died. When I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, my old me is dead. That's what how God pictures us. He also says in Galatians 6:14 these words, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the world has been crucified to me. The world is dead to me. The world in its system, in its lure, is dead to me. And I to the world. So the world in it has been crucified to me, and I to the world. The world looks at me as not being part of its system anymore. I'm dead to the world, and the world is dead to me. The principle is this. Now hear this. The world is dead to true, enduring believers. But there's such a thing as a carnal Christian. And I would submit that we vacillate between enduring Christians and carnal Christians from time to time. We're all not perfect on this side. But hear this. Half in, partially in people have a tendency to revert to old ways and the old you, particularly under duress. Under duress, people who are all in tend to turn to God. You hear that? Something bad happens, you turn to God. God, I don't know why this is happening. I don't understand this situation. I'm overwhelmed by this. I need your strength. I need your power. But people that are kind of half in, they tend to go back to their old ways, to their old friends, to their old hangouts, and that sort of thing. Their old life, their old ways, old patterns, old places. People that have a little of Jesus and a lot of the world. And I'll tell you, these folks live in perpetual misery. And you know what comes out of them? Why is this happening to me, God? I can't understand. I'm half in, half out. Why is this always happening to me? You hear that. For the Christian that is all in, you might have those same words of, God, I don't understand this. But you know what comes after that? I trust you no matter what. I will trust in the Lord until I do what? Die. I will trust in the Lord until I die. I don't know why this is happening. I don't understand why this is happening. I'm not going to go into a pity party. I'm going to trust you until I die, God. That doesn't happen with the carnal Christian. They tend to flitter away, and they wallow in the pain and the discomfort of the moment. Man, pick yourself up. Remember that God has taken you out of the miry clay, set you on the rock, the Lord Jesus. That's stability. That's stability in our lives. Now, because the old man is dead, we do not have to revert to the old carnal me. And remember, your old flesh guy is still there, right? And we can still go back there. Under certain conditions, if you allow yourself, you can go back to the old you. Don't think you can't. You have little triggers, little things that can pop you back to old you. And you wonder, where did that guy come from? Stick him back in the box. Stick him back in. Yeah. Because the world is dead to me, and I am dead to the world, you can live out Romans 6:12. That means that sin no longer has to be your master. You can have victory over sin. You do not have to go back to the old you. The promise to all those who are really saved, all who have died with Christ, is what? 11b, you shall also live with him forever. Forever. Eternity. In my Father's house are many rooms. I like the King James, mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. When I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back for you to receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. I mean, that's the promise. And how long are you going to be there? Forever. Forever. What you do here is really important. bowing before the Savior here, believing that he died on the cross for your sins is really important. It's really important. It's absolutely essential. What a deal. Listen to this. Jesus dies for me. Jesus does everything for me. He took all of my condemnation. Do you know that God never, ever, ever looks at you in a condemning way? Whenever you feel condemnation, don't think of God. Think of the enemy trying to condemn you. He's the one that points his finger at you. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus dies for me. He took all of my condemnation, and I get to live with him forever. Now, that is a deal. That is a deal. He takes everything. He takes the beating. He takes the crushing. He takes the spitting. He takes the punches. He takes the spear in the side. He takes the whipping. And I get to live with him forever. And I just say, thank you, Jesus. I believe you did that for me. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, what a deal. What a deal. That's the best deal going. Let's make a deal. Well, that's a deal. Verse 12 says this, if we endure, we shall reign with him. If we endure, watch these words. Endure is hupomeno, and it means to remain under, to endure, to sustain a load of misery. Whoa! Persecutions with patience. With patience. I am enduring this load of misery and persecution with patience. That's enduring. That's how the Christian endures. And we will be heirs. We will also live with him. We're going to be joint heirs with Jesus. Remember Romans 8:17. We will reign with him. Folks, we're going to have positions in the kingdom of God that are reigning positions depending upon how faithful we were to Christ on our journey on this side. Some are going to get a lot of rewards and some are just going to make it through us through the fire. Okay, and not have anything. I don't know what you're going to be doing in heaven, but it's not going to be as fun as what somebody else is going to be doing. It's going to be good, but it's not going to be as good as it could be, and I think you're probably going to realize that. Somehow, some way. Join heirs with Jesus if we endure. And I'll tell you, when that day comes, and he takes us by the hand, oh, what a day it will be when my Jesus I shall see. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. I mean, that's like hip, hip, hooray time. But that's for those who endure. That's for those who love him and endure will reign with him. Those who have died with him. But the contrast here is in 12b through 14. There's a caution here, a warning to deniers that are faithless. Deniers that are faithless. Now I want to give kind of a caution here. There are some commentators that look at these verses as people who are Christians who have fallen back and are still Christians, but they've just become less faithful on their journey. I think this is contrasting two groups of people, those who make it in and those who don't make it in. But you may have written in your Bible, if you have a study Bible, something contrary to this. So that's just the caution. There are two camps and two different ways to view this. Both of them are bad. You don't want to be faithless. So let's read the verses. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Now that is bad news. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Let's develop this. What does it mean to deny him? What does it mean to deny Christ? Now this is important because those people on that beach, on that picture where ISIS was cutting off their heads, those people were not recanting to Islam because they were not going to deny their Lord at the time of crisis. And I'm going to show you in just a second how important this is. So deny, what does it mean? Deny his name. To deny his name is to deny his character, who he really is. See, a lot of people make up Jesus. They have a little make-believe Jesus. They have a little make-believe Jesus they carry around, pull him out every now and then when they need him, put him back in, stuff him down. No, he is Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He reigns, we don't. That's what we need to know. to deny his name is to deny his character, who he really is. He is not an angel. You realize he's not an angel. He was not created. He is not imaginary. He's not your imaginary friend. He is God incarnate. He is the God-man who forever lives to intercede for us. He is our high priest. He sits on the right hand of God the Father. He will come to judge the quick and the dead. He is our Savior and He is our Lord. And guess what? He's also our friend. Isn't that something? I got the best friend I have. I got a tough friend. Another thing, if one denies their faith, repudiating the Christian faith, becomes a Hindu, a Muslim, apostatize, then it says here, Jesus will deny them. Fearful, fearful thing to apostatize. Now, why do I believe this deny means this? Well, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33 says this, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." That seems like a big deal, doesn't it? That seems like a big deal that people know that I'm a Christ follower. "But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." I will submit to you that this public declaration of Christ is why many die for their faith. It is why, remember the little Chinese girl? I gave the example months ago, maybe it was a year ago or something. But anyway, the communist Chinese came to this school and they said, "All the Christians, we want you out of here. And whoever steps on this cross, we won't kill you. But if you walk around this cross, we will shoot you." The first 8 kids walk out and all 8 are safe. They step on the cross. Number 9 is a little Chinese girl. And she walks out knowing this verse. And she walks around the cross and they kill her. All the first 8 are safe because they stand on the cross and deny the Lord Jesus. But number 9 says no. And the rest of that class, seeing her bravery, end up with the same fate. And I don't know how many there were. One person influenced the rest to be faithful, to confess before God and not deny Him. Polycarp, as he was being burned at the stake, and as he's being burned, the fire keeps going out. So what do? They end up stabbing him, and then he dies, and then they burn him. He says, "I will not recant. 88 years I have served my God. I will not turn." All he had to do was denounce the Lord Jesus and say, "I'll be faithful to Rome." The Bishop of Smyrna. They lit him up on the roads, folks, during Timothy's time. Nero was doing that. The Colosseum was full of Christians being eaten and slaughtered. They did not deny because of these verses. Paul and Peter, the Fox of Book of Martyrs, would not deny. But I'll tell you this. Hear this. This is said in the context of the next verse, verse 34. And it's talking about family prejudice, family compromise. Your family to convince you to deny your faith, deny your values to meet their values. Watch what he says in verse 34. "Do not think that I come to bring peace on earth." This is said right after confessing and denying. "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, division. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." Why? Because you do not compromise your faith. Because you have not bowed to what they believe. And the household then becomes, that's the greatest discomfort that we have when our family turns away from us and say, "We don't want you anymore because you're a Christ follower." There's a sacrifice. There's something that is given up. But Jesus said it would happen. Remember, Jesus' own family denied him until after the resurrection. And then some of them we know came to believe. James was a half-brother. Jude was a half-brother. His own family did. Folks, this thing about confessing and denying the Lord Jesus is very important. It's the reason that we're going to say, if they come up to us and threaten to kill us, we're going to say, "I got to take the bullet." Now, I can't just say, "I got to take the bullet." This Holy Spirit's got to speak through me. "Got to take the bullet." I mean, that's, you know, because there's fear there. The Spirit of God's going to have to do that. In the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to insist you follow him and take the mark of the beast. Hopefully we're not going to be here. I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. That's going to be for somebody else. But just in case I'm wrong and we have to go through it, don't take the mark, whatever you do. You could be one of those martyrs. That's right. There's tremendous pressure to deny Christ, to compromise your faith. And he says this, if we are faithless, and I believe that means no saving faith because people recant, it does not change who Jesus is. He will be faithful to those who believe. He'll be faithful to those who believe and come to him. But for those who reject him, for those who deny him, and he will be a faithful judge to them. To those who say, I will rule my life. I will not bow to you, Lord Jesus. And by the way, guess what? It's better to bow before him volitionally here. Say, I will bow before you, Lord. I mean, I can't get down. I mean, just bow before you. Because every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Those in the earth, under the earth, above everybody, every demon, Satan himself will bow before the Lord Jesus when he takes full control of this earth and say that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, their destiny has been sealed. We do it now. We do it willingly. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. To those, Jesus will finally say, okay, your will be done. Isn't that awful? Your will be done. You have fought against my spirit. You have fought against me. You have fought against the Father drawing you. You have resisted. You have resisted. You have resisted. You have resisted time and time and time and time and time again. And God will finally say, and I think his heart's broken. I think the heart of God is broken when he says, okay, your will be done. You can't live with me forever now. Quite a contrast to believers who say now, Lord Jesus, no, Lord, your will be done in my life, Lord. What a contrast. In conclusion, very quickly, all in, remember, all in to Christianity, all in people endure, all who die with Christ are going to be endurers. Nothing will stop the spread of the gospel. Remember that. Nothing will stop the spread of the gospel. And the word of God is not chained. No chain, no prison, no persecution, no demon, no despotic ruler, no Islamic terrorist, ISIS terrorist, nothing will stop God's kingdom. It will be established. Why? He decreed it. He decreed it. Who's sovereign? God is sovereign. He's the one that's in control. The call to endure is clear. Dying to self is clear. Remaining faithful to the end is clear. No shrinking back, remaining faithful is clear. All in people endure, that is clear. We all have that. We're on the same page, right? Listen what John Corson says about these, and we'll be through. About all in people enduring, dying to self. If we're dying for Jesus, we will also live with him. Not only in heaven, but presently. Because for the extent to which we die to ourselves is the extent to which we will also experience life abundantly. What a word. When I choose to die to my reputation, my rights, my ideas, my pleasures, and when I choose to take up the cross and die daily, as Jesus told me, is to live. What does it mean to take up your cross? Does that mean you're fighting the flu? That's not taking up your cross. Grieving over a loved one. That's not taking up the cross. He says this, taking up the cross is something you choose to do. Taking up the cross means choosing to sacrifice something of yourself. Choosing to sacrifice something of yourself, something the American church won't do. It will not do that. The majority. Something it will not do. To sacrifice something of yourself for the redemption of someone else. Being poured out. Remember, sacrifice and serving. What are you choosing to do for someone else's redemption? That's what John Corson goes on to say. For someone else's spiritual growth. What are you willing to do for someone other than yourself? What are you willing to do? What are you choosing to let go of, to give up, to die to? Let go of self, and you will find abundant life. That's a promise. End quote. Good words from his commentary. All in people, folks, will endure. All in people will sacrifice. That is something that is that makes you realize that you are all into this thing. You will sacrifice. And all in people will remain faithful. They won't cave. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time again to study your word, the word of God, the word of truth. In a world that absolutely does not know what truth is, Lord, we're seeing this all over the place today, particularly in the political arena, when we have one lie here, one lie there, and it's just a one big amalgamation of lie. Lord, I'm so thankful that we can rely on the truth of your word and who you are. What you said you will do. If we are faithful and confess you, you will confess us. If we deny you, you will deny us. There is an eternity at stake here, Lord. For we who are walking this walk that are truly born again of the Spirit, may we be those who are all in, and that we will endure whatever comes our way. And when the hardship comes to us, and it does in waves, I ask you to help us to turn to you and not to our old ways. And Lord, I love the concept of your, when I am going through the trials and tribulations of life, that your grace and your mercy washes over me in waves. One wave after another of grace and mercy. Thank you, Father, that you grace us and you mercy us and you do give us the strength to endure. Thank you for this word and thank you for this time. Holy Spirit, do your work in each one of our hearts, please. In Jesus' name, amen.